Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. Hope you had a safe and good new year. As I said at the song service this month, I want to talk along the lines of all things new. And we're going to start Deuteronomy 18. I want to spend a few minutes talking about Moses, and there'll be a reason for that. I hope you'll see when we're finished. Jesus Christ came to establish a new covenant, and I'm thankful for that, that we're not under the law of Moses anymore. All the law could do is condemn you. I watched a debate the other day between Charlie Kirk and a college student, and the college student was really hammering him about, you know, God had people killing people and yada, yada, yada. And I thought, you know, kid, you don't understand the scriptures. The wages of sin is death. And Paul said the law was given to us as a schoolmaster to prepare us for the appearance of Jesus Christ. So don't let people rattle you. That seems to be a big point they try to make today. You know, your God's a bully. Your God had people killed. You know, how can you talk about love and serve your God? And you just have to realize they're ignorant. They don't understand the scriptures. They don't understand God. So don't let it rattle your cage. And don't try to get defensive. God doesn't need you to defend him, is the way I feel about it. You can present the truth to people, and if they don't want to hear it, do like Jesus, smile and walk away from them. Leave them talking to themselves. Our text this morning will be Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. And I've entitled this, All Things New. Father, I thank you for those who have come out this morning. Be with those who could not. I know we have some that aren't feeling well. I just ask that you would touch them and heal them. Father, I pray that you will take this message to our hearts, that we will be encouraged by it. Lord, I'm so thankful that you were willing to do what you did in order that we could be reconciled to you, and that we who were not a people are now the people of God. I thank you for this blessing, and just ask that you would bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see his great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." Moses was not well received the first time he went out and revealed himself to the Israelites. Stephen, in his sermon in the book of Acts, talked about that. The historian Josephus talks about it. When Moses was 40 years old, he'd been raised in Pharaoh's house. He went out to visit the Israelites, and Moses believed then that God was going to use him to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. The Israelites talked for 400 years about a deliverer who was coming. And I believe Moses believed he was it. But his mistake was he thought that because he'd been raised in Pharaoh's house and he had the political pull, that God was going to use that to get the Israelites out of Egypt. And how many of you understand God does not work in the way we think he should? And when Moses went out, it said there was an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. And Moses looked around and nobody's watching, and he killed him, buried him in the sand. I'm sure Moses thought, this will prove to them I'm on their side. Because it was punishable by death what Moses did. Well, the next day it went out, and it said two of them were fighting, two Hebrew men. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion? You're both brothers." And the man said to him, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian?" If you're familiar with the story, Moses fled, was a shepherd for 40 years, and then God called him and said, "Now I want you to go to Egypt." And Moses didn't want to go. He argued with God. He made up excuses. But God finally convinced him, "You're the guy. You're the one I want to use." And in spite of the fact that when God brought them out of Egypt, he brought them to Horeb or Sinai to give them the law. And the first time God gave them the law, the Ten Commandments, it said there was fire and smoke on the mountain, and the mountain shook. And God warned the Jews, "Don't come near that mountain, because it's holy. And if you come near it, you're going to die." And he spoke the Ten Commandments to them through the fire, and the people ran. And they told Moses, "Don't let God talk to us anymore. We'll die. You go talk to God and then come and talk to us." So that's the part we read. And God said, "That's a wise thing they've said." So God called Moses to be his prophet, to be the leader. But in spite of that, there were still people who questioned his right to be the leader, to be the prophet. And I've wrote a few of these down. If you've read the Old Testament much, you're familiar with this. In Exodus 32, there was the golden calf incident. Moses went up on Sinai to get the law, was gone 40 days, and some of the people said, "Well, we don't know what's happened to him. Let's make a god." And they made the calf. 3,000 of them died. When Moses come back down off the mountain, 3,000 of those men were killed. The Levites killed them. Moses told them, "Put your swords on, go out there and kill everyone, your brother." So the leaders, the instigators of this all died for that. In Numbers 11, the people were grumbling against Moses, and it said fire came from God and killed some of them. So Moses told Aaron, "Put incense in your censer, go out among them and make atonement." And it said the fire quit. In Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron, Moses' brother and sister, spoke against him as leader. And God appeared to them in fire, and he said, "You know, all the other prophets, I speak to them through dreams and visions, but I speak to Moses face to face." He said, "You should have been afraid to speak against him." And he struck Miriam with leprosy. And Moses pleaded for her and said, "Lord, please don't do that." And the Lord said, "You put her out of the camp for 7 days. Then she'll be clean and she can come back." God gave Miriam a time out, is what I would call it. He said, "I want you to think about what you did." Now, the golden calf thing, he wanted to kill Aaron. That's not in the Exodus 32 account, but later Moses, when he recounts that, he said, "He wanted to kill Aaron and I had to plead for Aaron's life." In Numbers 16, a man named Korah, who was a Levite, and 250 other Levites came to Moses and said, "You take too much on yourself. We're God's people and we're holy. Who made you the leader?" And see, the Levites were put in charge of taking care of the tabernacle that they had built, the place where they worshiped God. And that was their job. Aaron and his sons were the priests, and they were the only ones that were supposed to do that. And these guys got the big head. They decided they didn't want to take care of the tabernacle. They wanted to be up front. "We want to offer sacrifices." And Moses was a humble man, and it said he bowed to the ground and he said, "Well," and this was a smart thing, he said, "Let's let God pick." He said, "You guys bring your censers out, and Aaron and his sons will bring theirs out tomorrow, and we'll let God decide who's going to lead." And they said, "Sounds like a good plan." Well, they showed up with their censers and put fire in them and waved them, and it said fire came out from the Lord and consumed them. 250 men became 251 crispy critters, and they hit the ground, and I mean, that was it. Well, there was a couple men named Dathan and Abiram, who were also gathering a rebellion up against Moses. They didn't like the way Moses was leading, and they said, well, who's he think he is? Well, Moses came out, and it was brought to his attention. He said, I'll tell you what, if God didn't choose me to lead, then you'll all die a natural death. But if he did choose me to lead, the ground's going to open up and swallow you. And he said, I advise the rest of you to get away from these guys. And they did, the smart ones. They got away from them, and it said the ground opened up and swallowed them alive and closed over them. Now, if I'd have been Moses, I'd have said, any more questions? But he didn't, you know. Moses let God defend him. And my point is, the reason I'm bringing these things up is because there were people who questioned and rebelled against Moses and said, we don't like his leadership. And God dealt with them very swiftly. And in today's text, we're talking about the prophet that God said he was going to raise up. And we need to understand something. God said, whoever doesn't listen to him, I will require it of him. And too many people today, in my opinion, they take liberties about the gospel that they shouldn't. That's what we're going to spend this month talking along those lines of all things are new. Now, how many of you know people don't like change? When God was sending this prophet, he was showing that the covenant was going to change, and a lot of people resisted that, and there's still many that do today, but I don't want to get sidetracked and get into that. When Jesus was preaching and teaching, when his ministry began, the leaders, the religious leaders, they didn't like what he had to say. Number one, he didn't recognize them and hold them up and say, these guys are such righteous dudes. You need to pay attention to them. He did tell them, you do what they tell you to do because they are the leadership, but don't do what they do because they're not going to heaven. Now, how many of you know that didn't bode well with the religious leaders? And they challenged Jesus and said, who told you to say these things? What authority do you say these things? And this was the Lord's answer. You can find it in John 7. He said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Now remember, God said this prophet would only speak God's words. He said, I'm going to tell him what to tell you. And don't you know that this probably infuriated these religious leaders? They knew what Jesus was claiming. They were trying to prove that he was a blasphemer, that he was delusional, that he didn't belong on the same plane they did. And people were thinking maybe this is the Messiah, and they were trying to dissuade them from that, say, this can't be the Messiah. Number one, he doesn't recognize how holy we are. He doesn't recognize how right we are. He hasn't been to our seminary. He's not been trained. You know, who's he think he is, this carpenter, getting up here and challenging our authority? So they challenged his, and they were trying to bring him down, and they said, who gave you the authority to talk like you do? And Jesus said, God. He said, my teaching isn't mine, it's him. And they understood, I think they understood what he was saying. They're going, oh, wait a minute. Okay, this guy thinks he's the prophet. Jesus went on to say, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Now today people would say, well, boy, that's an awful arrogant statement. Who do you think you are? And there's people that do say that about Jesus. I've talked to people over the years in ministry that have told me, well, there's a lot of ways to get to God. You picked one way and I pick another, but we're all going to God. And I like to tell them, yeah, you're going to get to God, but you're not going to like it when you get there. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto all men to die once, then the judgment. And the reason that God has his church presenting the gospel and telling the world the truth is to give them a chance to repent and believe and be saved. That's why we can't water the gospel down, church. We don't need to try to be seeker friendly. And I'm all for getting along with people. But I could care less if the gospel makes people angry. Maybe if they get mad, they'll think about it. I preached a message one time in a Nazarene church, and this guy got up and looked at me like he wanted to slap me. And he started up the aisle, and I thought, Lord, I will defend myself. Well, then he turned around, walked out the door, and the next Sunday he came up to me, and he said, Preacher, you made me so mad last Sunday I wanted to hit you. And I went home and got my Bible to prove you wrong, and he said, you know what, you were right. Not patting myself on the back. It was the truth. It convicted him. He repented. Praise God. And Jesus came preaching the truth. God said his prophet would do that. He said he'll only say what I'm telling him to say. And that was a hard pill for these people to swallow. This God that they claimed was their father, this God with whom they was in this covenant with, was saying to them, you got it all wrong. You don't understand. You don't have a heart for me. You don't love me. You love yourselves. And these are the things Jesus was pointing out to them. You love your sin. Well, who are you calling a sinner? You. That's the way it was. And Jesus told them, if your will is to do the will of God, you will know and understand that I did come from God, and what I'm teaching you is from God. And Jesus said, by the way, I don't go around trying to glorify myself. I'm not trying to draw attention to me. He said, I am pointing you to God, to the Father. That's who I'm here to glorify. Church, you and I are not here to draw attention to us, to glorify ourselves, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That grieves the Holy Spirit when the church gets up on a kick about the gifts of the Holy Ghost and they want to glorify the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came here to glorify Jesus Christ. The church is here to glorify Jesus Christ, not ourselves. We're not here to impress people about how well we can sing or how eloquent we can speak or how good we can preach. We're not here to pat ourselves on the back. We're here to glorify Jesus Christ. We're here to point the world to Jesus Christ. Jesus came here to get our attention and to say, this God whom you've redefined is not God. Here's God. I like what I heard one little girl in Sunday school said, Jesus put a face on God. You remember when they wanted Moses to speak, they said, we're afraid, we don't want to hear God speak anymore. God said, that's a good thing. So what did he do? He sent his son, God in the flesh, where they could look at God eye to eye. And he could talk to them without them dying. Man, what a God. He was willing to condescend to come down to our level so he could talk to us without us dropping dead like flies. But like Moses, Jesus was not very well received by a lot of people. When Moses said he's going to raise up a prophet just like me, after I'd been a Christian for a couple of years and reading the word and being out among people and being in church, I started to realize there was a couple of implications to that. Now, he said he'll come out of the brothers, just like I did. But, as I said, he wasn't too well received. When he was talking to them two men, that one shoved him and said, who made you a judge? That's exactly the reception Jesus got with a lot of his people. Well, who do you think you are? Who made you the boss? We used to say, who died and made you the boss? That hit me the other day. We used to say that when I was a teenager. I've never heard people say that today, but we thought it was pretty cool back then. Who died and made you the boss? You know, that was our way of saying, don't you try to boss me. And they had the same attitude with Jesus. Wait a minute. Now, where'd you get the authority to say that? You ain't been to our seminary. You didn't go to our Bible college and learn all the stuff we know. Who do you think you are? Well, we're going to talk this month about the remarkable sayings of Jesus, who he claimed to be. Because, see, it really doesn't matter who I think he is and who you think he is, because we can be wrong, but who did he say he was and is in the scriptures? That's what we need to look at. And either he's a liar or he's telling the truth. I told a guy that one time. He said, there's many ways to get to God. I said, there's only one, Jesus Christ. Well, I know you believe that, but I don't. I said, well, my problem is Jesus said that. I didn't. And I said, either he's telling the truth or he's delusional. And if you're right and he's delusional is what you're claiming. I didn't say that. Yes, you did. You just told me you understood Jesus said he was the only way, and you're saying he's not, so you're calling him a liar. He said, well, I think this conversation's over. I said, I agree. I might as well talk to a tree as to talk to somebody like you. Yeah. Doesn't mean you don't pray for them. Ask God to open their eyes. Here comes this new prophet. People have been waiting for the prophet. And they asked Jesus, who do you think you are? Who told you to say that? And he said, God. I'm here speaking for God. That should have been a clue. That to me, it really should have been, because they knew the scriptures. And when Jesus said, I'm speaking for the Father, a lot of them got on the defense, but he said other things I didn't include in this message. He said, hey, if I haven't done the works that only God can do, then don't believe me. But if you don't want to believe what I say, believe what you've seen. Believe the works I'm doing. He told his men before he went to the cross, if I had not done among them the works that no one else have done, they would have an excuse for their sins. But he said, now they don't. They have nowhere to hide. I'm starting to get into another message. I'll stop. This stuff's great to me. I don't know what you're getting at. Boy, it's exciting to me. I love studying this. It's just like, yeah, go get them, God. Jesus promised the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to believers. Now, the Jews understood in the scriptures that God talked about there was a day he was going to pour his spirit out upon all flesh, men and women. And see, in the old covenant, only a select few got the Holy Spirit. But in the new covenant, God said, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. On the Feast of Booths, it said on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit. That way that takes away all doubt what he was talking about. Whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. Here's another eye-opener, it should have been. They understood that God was going to be the one to give them the Spirit, and Jesus was signaling there's a change coming, people. It won't be just certain people going to have the Spirit. The Father's going to give the Spirit to all believers. Let me ask you a question. Paul asked the Ephesians, have you received the Holy Spirit since you became a Christian? Well, I didn't talk in tongues. I didn't ask you that. Tongues are not the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's a doctrine of man, and it's an error. I believe in the gift of tongues, other languages. I believe in the gift of prophecy. I believe in the gifts, all the gifts of the Spirit. But you know what the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is according to the scriptures? Love. Do you have a burden for the lost? Do you pray for the lost? Do you love them? Then you don't have the Spirit. If you say, well, no, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Then you don't have the Holy Spirit. If the answer is no, see what I'm saying? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and it's in the scriptures, is love. Do you love your sin? Then you don't have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Or you're grieving him. When Jesus said this, it says, when the people heard these words, some of the people said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. They're both right. He is the prophet and he is the Christ. The Christ is the Messiah. Christ, it means the anointed one. And the Jews were looking for a Messiah. So these two camps said, we believe he's the prophet Moses talked about. And the other said, we think he's the Messiah. And they were both right. Their mistake was they thought that the prophet and the Messiah were going to be two different people. And they're one and the same. So see, both groups was right. I imagine if they're like people in the church today, they probably had their little debates and butted heads and, well, I believe I'm more right than you are. Well, I don't think you're as right as I am. So narrow they could look through a keyhole with both eyes. The thing is, they were both right. He is the prophet that Moses spoke of, that God prophesied. He's also the Messiah. Friend of mine, he's gone now, but he got to go to Israel a few times and preach. Boy, I envied him. I told him, I said, oh, you lucky sucker, I'd love to go to Israel and preach. And he went to a Passover, got invited to a Jewish family's house, and he said, man, it was awesome, it was beautiful. And one of the men at the table, Dad was singing praises and prayers in Hebrew, and he was leaning over and translating it. And he said, what broke his heart was they were praying, please send Messiah, please send Messiah. And he said, I thought, he's already been here, people. He's still alive. But he said, it had been rude for me to say that at the table, at that man's table. Jesus Christ is the prophet that Moses wrote about. He's the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for. He's our Messiah too. Remember, God told us and them that if anyone refused to listen to the words of this prophet, that God would deal with them personally. They'd be judged. Jesus said, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That's in John chapter 8. This prophet came to institute a new covenant. Like Moses, he wasn't well received by a lot of people. Jesus said a lot of remarkable things. Some believed him, many didn't. And I want to spend this month looking at some of the claims that Jesus made. As I said, let's let the word speak and find out if we're on track, if we truly understand who Jesus the Christ is. These claims that Jesus made caused many of the Jews to believe on him, and Gentiles, and caused a lot of others to reject him. And if you're familiar with history, in 70 AD, God kept his promise to call them to account. Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman armies under the command of a general named Titus. Jesus Christ is the promised prophet, and he is the Messiah. He's the one that they were waiting for, and that we, through him, we have hope. We're reconciled to God. Paul said, we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. We were once far away from God, now we've been brought near. We ought to be the happiest people to walk the earth, church. I don't mean walking around with a stupid grin on your face all the time. We suffer just like everybody else. But joy is not a thing of just, I feel happy. Joy is the assurance of knowing who you are and who Jesus Christ is and who you are in Christ. He came to make all things new. Praise God that he came to make all things new. Would you stand with me this morning? We take for granted, and when I say we, I'm including myself. Sometimes we take for granted the things that God did for us and that God still does for us. And we're going to be looking this month at some of the claims of Jesus and what I believe are some of the false claims of people, of men, false prophets.